Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, it's me, Tanner, back with a new episode. Sorry I was out last week. I had a sick COVID-19. So make sure you stay your social distancing and you wash your hands and wear your damn mask. But it seriously sucks, man. I had a fever, whole body was hurting. I had a bad cough and everything. I was out of it for a good while there. So I can't record. But I'm feeling a little better now. In this episode, we're in Chihuahua, Mexico. Alien encounters, signs of a man-bat hybrid, and giant birds make the Mexican state of Chihuahua one pretty strange place. It also is the birthplace for a legend involving snakes that is said to explain how war is made and won in the great country of Mexico. Join us as we explore the lore and mystery across one of Mexico's truly great states, Chihuahua. Hey guys, this is me, Tanner. You know, I'm also a streamer on Twitch, but I / G1 Tanner on Twitch. But that's not the fun part. For all the G1s out there, I need you to do, if you like good video games and good people, I need you to go over to twitch.tv/gametech and hit subscribe and tell all your friends about it. We're going to march to the top, trying to get the number one subscribe channel on Twitch. So here's what we got to do. Go to twitch.tv/gametech. And tell your friends about it. March to the top. Hashtag March to the top. Here we go. We're going to the moon, baby. Let's go. Encounter at McCoy. Located 45 miles southeast of the city of Chihuahua, McCoy, at the population of a little over 20,000, and it's particularly typical Mexican town. Nothing out of the ordinary happened in this largely agricultural town until October of 1987. It was then that the McCoy received international attention. On October 27th, 1987, four children were playing in the courtyard of a house located on Francisco Madero Street in a neighborhood called Nuevo. The children were named Sergio Robles, age 12. Javier Valenzuela, age 11, and 2 7-year-old twin brothers, Mario and Willie Payan. According to their testimonies, a reddish blue light appeared from nowhere. 5 small beings appeared. The light induced a state of numbness in all the boys. In one account of the incident, the boys tried to run and one of them fainted. The beings told them not to be afraid, and the boys stopped running. This was the first encounter the children of the town would have with what they thought were monkeys, causing the creatures to be referred to as the little monkeys of McCoy. Twins Mario and Willie told their parents what had happened, but their parents didn't believe them, dismissing the story as children having an active imagination, or just something the boys were making up. It was not until other interactions with these beings over the course of a week involving other children that the parents, along with many others in town, started to think about this whole thing more seriously. Although the beings were initially called little monkeys, they were more closely fitting to the description of the classic grades of classic UFO lore. They were the same height as the children, but with spindly arms and legs and skinny torsos. Their heads were large with large reddish eyes, small noses, and slits for mouths. They lacked ears, and the boys wondered how they could hear them because they obviously understood them when they talked. Some of these small humanoids had patches of closely cropped blonde hair on their heads, but they were otherwise hairless and smooth and pale gray in color. In the ensuing weeks, the boys draw pictures of these little visitors. Looking at the drawings, they fit the class profile of the classic gray, but with small variations. Creatures also spoke Spanish, but according to the children, their mouths barely moved. And perhaps a way to try to get closer to the boys and to gain their trust, these 5 beings had names all in Spanish: Hugo, Pancho, Gaspar, Agar, and Crispin. The boys also noted that the beings had a hard time moving and walked as if their legs didn't bend properly. The creatures also had only 3 fingers and toes, and the boys also noted circular marks on their chest. The drawings of the creatures that children made eventually hit the local and national news and eventually the international press. According to the account related by the boys, the beings were here to study our world. In one interview, one of the boys also said that one of the creatures had told him, "We like the weather here." In subsequent encounters, the beings seemed to come out of small, shallow holes in the earth, leading the children to believe that the creatures came from underground instead of from the stars. When the holes opened up, the boys heard murmuring sounds of other beings, as if their new friends were existing or exiting a crowded room. During their almost daily encounters with these seemingly otherworldly little humanoids, the children did not experience the typical missing time associated with alien abduction phenomenon, so researchers generally believe that the boys were not abducted. The large orb of light which heralded the first visit of these creatures seemed to appear off and on over the next few weeks. Other people in the town of McCoy saw these children and claimed they hovered over the ground and then zoomed overhead and out of sight. The sightings of these beings, however, were restricted to the children and limited to only a handful of encounters over the course of a few weeks. By the end of November of 1987, the little monkeys apparently had left for good, but boys said they promised they would return one day to continue their research and earthly observations, whatever that may entail. The story did not end by the end of the last alleged visit with these strange beings at the end of November 1987. Rumors persisted that NASA had been interested in these encounters and sent people to McCoy to investigate the situation for months. After the sightings ended up, but no one had been able to verify that claim. Although stories of strange white vans and signs of suspicious looking gringos spread throughout town. Later, researchers who reached out to NASA for information about what happened in McCoy or possible research done there have been stymied, as NASA remains close-lipped about the whole affair, neither confirming or denying the town's suspicions. The children who experienced the counter are now all adults, except for one. On April 6, 2007, Javier Valenzuela, age 30, was found dead in his home in the neighboring city of Delicias. Delicias? I don't know. Sorry. His body was covered in what appeared to be surgical cuts, but none of his organs were removed. An autopsy of Aver could not determine cause of death, although a strange, unidentifiable substance was discovered in his blood. Some wonder if the alien beings kept their promise and returned a few decades later. The death of the other children, childhood friend, caused all the others involved to go forever silent. On the 30th anniversary of the events of 1987, a Mexican paranormal investigator, Francisco Tate, visited McCoy to make a small documentary about what happened. He tried to get the four men to talk about their experience with the monkey beings, but all refused to talk. Then, or since, many in McKee do not want to associate themselves or their town with these strange events. Some of the town still believe that the boys made everything up and that over time stories have morphed into an urban legend. Some people want McKee to return to being a small, peaceful town it was before these alleged encounters. Whether the townsfolk like it or not, looks like people throughout Mexico and beyond will continue to show interest in McKee for years to come. Very interesting. Kyle Snake. A legend of war.
Hey guys, this is Heather and Kristen, the hosts of Sinister Sweethearts podcast, and we want to share with you a little bit about our show.
If you're looking for fun banter between old college sweetmates about all things paranormal, sinister, weird, and generally creepy, check out our podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast player.
When the Spanish defeated the Aztecs, they didn't do it alone. They had help. Famed explorer Hernan Cortez and Spanish conquistadors, allied with the indigenous fighters from the Aztec Empire and neighboring enemies who were also at war with the Aztec. All the Mesoamericans feared the armies of the Aztec Empire. The patron god of the Aztecs and the protector of the capital of Tenochtitlan was Huitzilopochtli, the ancient Mexican war deity. The conquering Spanish noted just how much of the Aztecs' daily life revolved around war and just how much their military might was feared by others. Where did the warlike nature come from? The Aztec priests had an answer for everything, even the origins of war. According to Aztec beliefs, prehistoric man lived peacefully on Earth. Nature had a delicate balance, and the sun ruled over everything. The 400 cloud serpents were responsible for feeding the sun. These flying serpents would swoop down on a jaguar, for example, and bring it to the Sky Lord. These gigantic flying snakes never interacted with humans who lived peacefully on Earth. One day, the 400 cloud serpent decided to disregard their feeding duties and stopped hunting. They lapsed into a state of degeneracy, making elaborate feared feather costumes for themselves and spent their time getting drunk. In one version of the story, the flying snakes even took human women as their concubines. The sun needed help to restore order in the skies, so he asked the humans on Earth for help. The sun chose four brothers and their sister, the last humans to be created by the gods to help fight the flying serpents. Oral history says their names were Eagle Twins, Cloud Serpent, Hawk Mountain, River Lord, and their sister, Wolf Woman. The sun gave the siblings poison darts and shields. Because humans were unfamiliar with fighting and war, the sun instructed them in their use. "My children, pay attention," the sun said. "You must now destroy the 400 cloud serpents who offer me nothing." So the five siblings hid in different areas, waiting for the sky snakes to swoop down on Earth, and a great battle was waged. And the 400 cloud serpents were defeated. The sun put the serpents in the sky for all eternity, where they can be seen today as the northern stars. the humans enjoyed making war instead of cow servants. From that time forward, they would serve the sun and feed him with sacrifices, attaining more. This legend explains the Aztecs' many victories in war and subsuming its neighboring villages and cultures, and it continued unabated until the Spanish arrived, when the Aztec Empire was still on the rise, given its proven method of warfare to stretch itself from north-central Mexico to the Pacific coast of the modern-day Guatemala. Given this ever-growing war machine and legend behind it, one only wonders how large the Aztec Empire would have grown had the Spanish not arrived. Oh my god. So all of that was like, Aztec were badass people, dude. Like, the Spanish only won because they had like diseases. You know. Next, the man bat of northern Mexico.
If you like weird and strange history as much as I do, then I have the podcast for you. I'm Jason Horton, host of Strange Year. Each episode, I break down the strange history and cultural happenings during that year, like 1977, the Wow Signal, 1963, Three Tramps Theory, 1844, the Millerite Movement, 1997, the Phoenix Lights, 1896, the Shortest War, 2004, Benjamin Kyle, 1518, the Dancing Plague, 1985, the Move Bombing, 1972, Remote Viewing. So to get your weekly weird history fix, pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Strange Year wherever you listen to podcasts.
On a chilly night, just a few hours after midnight on Friday, January 16, 2004, a young police officer named Fernando Samaniego Gallegos was on a patrol in his beat neighborhood of Valles de la Cida. Officer Samaniego was driving his patrol car down Aldama Street when he saw something big and black fall from a tall tree. The big black figure did not touch the ground, but seemed to hover over it. Samaniego turned on the patrol car's high beams. He saw before him a humanoid with big black eyes, brownish skin, and what appeared to be black fur. According to the officer's report, a shining car's light upon it, the creature covered its eyes, became angry, and lunged at the car. It grabbed the patrol car by the hood and rocked it back and forth violently. In a panic, Samaniego spun the car in circles to try to shake it off. He then grabbed his car radio and yelled for reinforcements to come to his aid. The creature started to smash the windshield of the car, at which point the young officer shifted the car into reverse, gunned the engine, lost control of the vehicle, crashed it, and was knocked unconscious. When he came to, revived by paramedics, the creature was long gone. Samaniego was taken to the university hospital. In addition to being tested for his physical wounds, he was subjected to psychological and toxicological tests to determine whether he was under the influence when he had his encounter. All the tests came up negative. The police chief was left with a mangled car and strange testimony of a very trusted officer. The story spread quickly and it caught the attention of a local news station throughout the state. In an on-camera interview the day after his release from the hospital, the officer recounted his experience and gave a detailed description of the creature. Reporters and citizens alike wondered exactly what Samaniego had seen. Was it a gigantic bird of prey? A huge bat? Was it some unknown or classified animal? Was it a ghost or some otherworldly being? One interviewer even wondered if it could have been a crazy person dressed up in a costume, although that wouldn't account for the creature seeming to hover over the ground or the severe damage done to the police car. At the conclusion of one of the news stories, the announcer asked the public to come forward if they had any information about the incident or if anyone had any knowledge of a big black flying creature seen at other times in the region. The response to this plea was quick. A resident of Monterey and a member of the UFO Club of Nuevo León came forward with a video showing a strange black humanoid looking beam flying over hills outside the city. Three policemen from the minibus fleet of Santa Catarina claim to have seen the creature several times flying over a site of a natural wilderness reserve just north of town, which is known for its jagged peaks. Another policeman named Horrendo Garza Cavazza claimed to see a creature that resembled the description in a town cemetery, standing a meter and a half tall, or almost 5 feet, with dark feathers or furs and black claws. He thought it was a gigantic bird or bat, but it had the face of a human. In this sighting, Officer Garza said that soon after the creature appeared, it was joined by another one of the same size and type. Garza ran to a guardhouse and locked himself in there until the creatures left. The theory that these are gigantic birds is supported by the eyewitness testimony of Francisco Pena, who lives near the cemetery where the being was sighted. He claims that these creatures make noises. They sound like laughing turkeys. Of all the eyewitness accounts being reported as a result of the most recent newscast, perhaps the most interesting came from a man named Manuel Cifuentes, who is also a policeman from the Mississippi of Guadalupe and a colleague of Seminagle. He describes a sighting that occurred almost 2 weeks before Seminagle's. According to Officer Cifuentes, he was leaving the police station on foot when suddenly a black creature with a large stick swooped toward him from the sky. He closed his eyes from reflex and called to his support. I felt much cold, as if I had gotten into a freezer full of ice. The creature didn't cause him any harm, but he felt that the creature energy had pierced his body. It all happened suddenly, but Cifuentes claimed that he was attacked by a classic witch and believed the stick the creature had with it was more like a broom that it used to fly. He had a distinct impression that the being was female. No other sightings in early 2004 had described the creature in quite the same way. In rural parts of the state of Chihuahua, a similar creature had been sighted. As the largest state in Mexico, Chihuahua, along with its ebonous desert, also has a huge forest, deep canyons, rugged mountains, and sweeping prairies. Many parts of the state are still wild and somewhat inaccessible, would have been perfect habitat for as yet unknown creatures. Reported a tall, dark flying humanoid creature occurred again in the year 2009 in a few small towns throughout Chihuahua. On March 6, 2009, in the town of La Junta, a young man was turning home along a very infrequent traveled road. He came across something hunched over in the middle of the road. When the man's jeep got closer to the hunched over figure, it stood up, and what he saw was similar to signs just a few years before. It was a black creature covered in fur, a face similar to a human's, and had wings. According to eyewitness, the creature had two sets of wings and red eyes, but it started to leap towards the jeep. The young man sped up his vehicle, and for 15 minutes, the creature flew next to him, looking into the passenger window. Oh! The story had made an area newspaper, El Herado de Chihuahua, or the Herald, Chihuahua Herald, or something. And similar to what happened previously, the story hit the mainstream media. Other people came forward with stories of similar sightings. Two women, Angela Menez and Vivian Lemes, both from a town of La Junta called Minaca, claimed to have seen and heard the creature in an apple grove near the town cemetery. This is only the second time they reported that the creature made noise. In most of the sightings, it is silent. In 2009, authorities became involved to try to calm the panic of people in rural Chihuahua and discover answers once and for all. The police department of the town of Guerrero joined forces with the Civil Defense Department of Chihuahua to try to track down the creature. The joint task force included that this is man bat were real, that it probably lived in the mountains outside of Minica, but it could never track down the creature or find any physical evidence of its existence. Not a single track or a single tuft of fur was ever found. After this formal investigation, the science seemed to fall off. Researchers into cryptids and the paranormal have compared the northern Mexican man bat to the American Mothman sightings, which started in the mid-1960s in rural West Virginia. Mothman was described as an upright, standing, flying humanoid with a large wingspan and red eyes, sometimes seen as being covered in either black or brown fur. Like the Man Bat of northern Mexico, eyewitness accounts of Mothman caused widespread panic and possible copycat sightings. Both were also subjects of serious investigation by authorities that came up empty. Could these creatures be related? Until one of them is actually captured or its remains recovered, the Man Bat of northern Mexico remain an unsolved mystery.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Cozy Cryptid. I hope you enjoy the show and share it with your friends. And let me know what you think on Instagram and Twitter. And follow me on TikTok. Also, remember, you can save 25% off your order by using the code COZY at checkout. Thank you.
The Locusta. The last one for Chihuahua. Lastly, we'll investigate the gigantic bird sightings that have been occurring all over northern Mexico and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas for centuries. The massive birds have been called La Locusta, or its resemblance to an owl. Is this creature real, or is it a myth or urban legend, or is it maybe something else? There are many descriptions of the Locusta. The massive bird can range in size from a small human to up to 7 feet tall and have a massive wingspan of 15 feet. It is sometimes described as black in color and sometimes as white. In most cases, it has been said to resemble an owl. Some accounts say that the Locusta's face is that of an old woman with dark, almond-shaped eyes. In all reports, the Locusta flies and is seen only at night. And has been reported only in the Mexican states of Chihuahua, Coahuila, Durango, Nuevo León, and Tamaulipas, and on the American side of the Rio Grande in Texas. One of the main themes running through these stories regarding the Locusta is that the creature was once a woman who was wronged and was seeking revenge. Someday the Locusta is a woman by day and turns into a huge owl at night. Some say the Locusta snatches kids before her own child, because her own child was killed by angry villagers for a crime he did not commit. Not only is Locusta said to take humans as prey, it is drawn by the negative emotions of humans, acting as a psychic vampire, drawing power from the emotions surrounding human conflict and distress. Locusta has been known to appear outside of houses during domestic quarrels, waiting for one of the people involved to come out of the house so it can snatch them up and carry them for Locusta's lair. Locusta has a special fondness for children, especially for those who wander away from home after dark. The creature also make crying sounds like a baby to lure you out of your house. It's also been known to make a whistling sound, like a human whistling. If you answer back with a whistle of your own, the Locusta will swoop down and carry you away. If you wake up in the morning and see large scratches on your doors or window sills, it means Locusta was there and is coming for you, so you must prepare yourself accordingly. Experts in the paranormal say that there are several things you can do to ward off an attack by the Locusta. Hanging a rope with several knots in it outside your door or on your porch shows the creature that you acknowledge or respect it, and it will leave you alone. If you see the creature flying at you, an attack can be repelled with a combination of salt and chili powder thrown into Locusta's face. Some stories of Locusta's encounters have been well into the 21st century and continue to this day. In one recent story, near the town of El Tigre, Chihuahua, a man was driving on a dirt road outside of town when the creature began swooping down on his truck. At one point, it hit the truck's windshield and bounced onto the road in front of the vehicle. The driver gunned the engine, ran over the Locusta, backed up over it, and ran over it again to be satisfied that he killed the creature. Unfortunately, from the rearview mirror of the truck, the man saw the Locusta rise again and instantly had a heart attack and died at the wheel. This was reported by the passenger in the truck with him at the time. In the United States, town of Santa Rosa, Texas, near the Mexican border, there was a mass sighting of Lucezza in 1977. The creature was spotted on a tree and then flew to the front door of a woman, scratching doors as if it wanted to get in. But then the neighborhood dogs arrived at the house, barking, and Lucezza flew away. The dogs ran after the bird, but gave up when Lucezza flew too high and dogs lost sight of it. Next morning, all the neighborhood dogs had chased Lucezza were dead. Several people saw the strange bird creature. All were mystified by nighttime death of dogs. So, is this a massive bird, a figment of the collective unconscious? Is it an as yet unclassified cryptid? Is it part of something not of this earth? There has been very little serious investigation to Lucezza. While it's an interesting phenomenon, it is waiting for a serious scientific examination. That is the Chihuahua. Thank you for listening to this episode. Check out everything. Check out the website at CozyCryptid.com. Find me on Instagram and Twitter, Cozy Cryptid Podcast. Check me out on TikTok at Cozy Cryptid Podcast. And shout out to my writer and for my marketing person, Mad Hurry 77 on Instagram. Check them both out. And yeah, have a good week and everything. If you have any questions, you can either email me or send me a voice message. It's be linked down below in the description, or you can send a record a voice thing. And yeah, but have a good weekend.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.